Uh-oh. He's looking at us.
No wonder no one wanted to mess with us.
What are we going to do?
Walk forward very slowly and hope I come up with some plan before we get there.
It had better be a bloody good one.
It will, it will. I'm famous for my plans.
You're also famous for getting your ass kicked, and there are a hell of a lot of heavily armed people looking right at us. Could we please walk a little slower?
Ruby, any slower and we'd be in reverse. Cass is already looking daggers at us.
Oh, gee, I may wet myself.
They reached the low podium set up before the prisoners, bowed to Kasser, and then looked at the two heavy swords standing next to the two chopping blocks. The blocks looked like they'd seen a lot of service. Random looked at the prisoners, who stared back as defiantly as they could. Some of the younger children started to cry, not sure what was going on, but picking up on the charged atmosphere. For a moment that stretched and stretched, there was only the quiet and the tension. Kasser strode over to the podium.
What do we do? Jack, what do we do?
Proceed with the executions, or we'll start with yours.
Kasser stopped, grabbed Random's hood, and pushed it back to reveal his face.
You!
Me.
And Random punched Kasser in the mouth. He grabbed the dazed cardinal, swung him around, and held him as a shield. There was uproar among the watching church troops. Random smiled into Flynn's camera.
Long live the rebellion!
Oh, nice plan. Really subtle. Couldn't have done better myself.
Ruby threw off her robes and drew her sword and disruptor. The church troops broke ranks and ran toward the three figures by the podium, closely followed by the security forces. They all had swords in their hands. Ruby turned to face them, fire in her eyes. Some of the prisoners managed a ragged cheer. Random looked at his watch. Toby Schreck turned to Flynn.
Tell me you're getting this.
I'm getting it, I'm getting it. It's all going out live. Is that who I think it is?
Don't know the woman, but the other's Jack Random, all right. I should have known he'd make one of his patented last-minute rescues.
Hate to spoil your scenario, boss, but there's only two of them and hundreds of everybody else. Hostage or no hostage, they don't stand a chance.
What the hell? It'll make a great show. We are talking about major awards here, Flynn. Where the hell did they come from?
They were the hundreds upon hundreds of rebels who were boiling up out of concealed openings at the edge of the factory perimeter. Random grinned. Bang on time. While their fellows had been keeping the factory's defenses concentrated on the other side of the factory, the rest had been tunneling like crazy to reach the perimeter before the executions took place. They swarmed across the uneven metal surface, brandishing guns and swords and yelling their savage war cries. The church and security men reversed direction, forgot all about Random and Ruby and Cardinal Kasser, and braced themselves to meet the rebel forces. Disruptors fired, energy beams cutting through the air, blowing people apart in gushes of blood. And then the two forces hammered together, a heaving mass of bodies surging this way and that. And there was room only for sword to sword and head to head, and the bloody rage of clashing beliefs. Ruby looked at Random.
I suppose you're going to say you planned that.
Of course. Though the timing was a bit close. Search Cass's pockets. See if he's got any keys to the padlocks.
And that was when half a man came striding forward, sweeping men aside, heading straight for Jack Random with a sword in his human hand. Random pushed Kasser away from him, drew his disruptor, and snapped off a shot. Half a man raised his energy arm to block it, and the energy beam ricocheted harmlessly away into the sky. And so they came together. Two men touched and shaped by alien forces, neither of them wholly human anymore. The power of the madness maze burned in Random, but even so, he was hard-pressed to stay in the fight. Whatever else the aliens had done, they had made Half a Man a formidable fighter. He'd been a warrior longer than Jack Random had been alive, and he never grew tired. Their swords clashed together, neither giving an inch. Cardinal Kasser, meanwhile, had come out of his daze and was fighting head-to-head with Ruby Journey. He'd started with contempt, but was quickly fighting for his life. He called on all his training and experience as an elite church warrior, and found it wasn't enough. She drove him back step by step, sweeping aside his defenses with ease and cutting him at whim. And though she could feel the boost surging up within her, she kept it down, refusing the advantages it offered. She was all she needed, all she'd ever needed, and she'd decide whether to use her extra gifts or not. She grinned into Kasser's sweating face. She could kill him at any time, and both of them knew it. But she wanted it to last. Ruby Journey was enjoying herself. Daniel Wolfe drew his sword, ready to rush into the fray himself, and then stopped as he saw how frightened Stephanie was. She needed him to protect her. He glanced at the factory's main entrance, but there were already too many rebels between him and it. There was no safe cover anywhere. All he could hope for was not to be noticed. So he pulled his sister behind the teleprompter, made her crouch down, and stood protectively over her, determined that no one would get to her without having gone through him first. Lily and Michael clung together, staring about them with wild eyes. A small group of rebels broke away from the main fight and headed their way. Lily pushed Michael away from her, glared at the approaching rebels, and called up her witchy powers. But all her weak esp could manage was a rushing wind that barely slowed the rejects. One of them cut at Lily with his sword. Michael pushed her out of the way, and the sword cut into his throat and out again. Blood sprayed, splashing Lily's horrified face. Michael fell dying to the ground. Lily crouched over him, crying and screaming hysterically, until a rebel passing by on his way to free the prisoners cut her down out of reflex. Lily and Michael died together, a long way from home. Two children in a violent adult world they never really understood. Half a man finally realized he couldn't beat Jack Random as easily as he thought, so he disengaged, turned, and ran. He had a better idea, and besides, with the rebels so close, the safety of the factory took precedence over everything else. He ran back into the factory, cutting down anyone who got in his way. First, he'd shut down the timer on Kasser's explosives, and then he'd raise the factory's force screen again so that most of the rebels would be trapped outside it. Those left inside would soon fall, and the factory would be safe. He smiled with his half a mouth. Let Jack Random rattle his sword against an energy field and see what good it did him. There were better ways to win a war. While half a man was disappearing into the complex, Alexander Storm and Mother Beatrice were leading the clones out. The clones took one look at the carnage and mayhem spread out before them and froze in the doorway. Storm and Beatrice yelled for everyone to stay put and to keep their heads down. While the clones huddled together, the rebel and the sister studied the situation thoughtfully. Some of the attacking rebels were trying to free the prisoners, but the heavy-duty padlocks were slowing them down.
They'd better be quick. As long as those chains hold, the wolves could still fry the prisoners at the press of a button. And anybody else who happened to be touching the chains or locks at the time.
Good point. I'd better give them a hand. I was always good with locks, but then everyone needs a hobby.
You're a brave man, Alexander Storm.
Damn right. Jack isn't the only legend around here, you know.
Kasser backed away from Ruby, panting for breath, blood streaming from his wounds. He still held his sword, but it shook uncontrollably in his hand. Ruby went after him, still smiling. She'd had enough fun for the moment, and now it was time for the Cardinal to die. He saw the decision in her eyes, and frantically held up his other hand.
Back off, bitch! The controls for the prisoner's execution are wired into my glove. One step closer, and they're dead.
You're bluffing. If you could do that, you'd have done it by now just for spite.
Kasser smiled.
Try me. What will your precious rebel friends think of you when they learn you could have saved the prisoners, but didn't choose to?
Ruby shrugged, sprang forward, and brought her sword savagely down with all her strength behind it. The heavy blade sheared clean through Kasser's wrist, and his hand fell twitching to the ground. Kasser dropped his sword and grabbed the stump of his wrist, trying to squeeze it shut. Blood pumped past his gripping fingers.
I've never given a damn what people think of me.
I'm rich! Name your price!
Now that's more like it. How much have you got?
How much do you want?
All of it. Where is it?
In a safe. In my quarters. Gold. Payroll for the faithful. Let me go, and it's yours.
Ruby thought for a moment.
Thanks for the tip, Cardinal. I'll check it out later. Now, say goodbye.
Her sword swung around in a long, double-handed arc and cut off Kasser's head. It went bouncing and rolling away into the surrounding crush and was quickly lost to sight, kicked this way and that, and trampled underfoot. Ruby smiled, satisfied. A good kill and gold for rafters. The day was looking up. She searched Kasser's pockets, found a set of keys, and went to help free the prisoners, humming a merry tune. The fight went on, the rebels pushing back the Empire forces almost at will, until finally some security officer had the good sense to surrender. The idea caught on in a flash, and soon there were swords dropping and hands going up all over the place. And as quickly as that, the battle was over. Ruby and Storm freed the prisoners, and Beatrice ushered the clones out of the complex. There were cries of joy and relief as the rebel forces found their loved ones safe, and hugs and tears became the order of the day. Toby and Flynn covered it all, broadcasting live to an astonished empire. And that was when the factory blew up. The first set of explosives to detonate set off all the others, and within seconds, the whole factory became a great blazing fireball. The core of the building became a searing inferno, and blazing wreckage rained down on all sides. The outer walls blew apart, unable to contain the pressure, and the deadly heat ballooned outward, followed by a storm of flying, red-hot shrapnel. There was nowhere the hundreds of people could hide, no cover anywhere. They were only seconds away from certain death when Random and Ruby reached out to each other, linked minds, and threw up a protective force field to hold back the flames and explosions. The firestorm raged against the shield, battering their minds, but still it held, on and on, until the force of the firestorm was spent and the shield was no longer needed. And only then did it disappear. And Jack Random and Ruby Journey sank to their knees, blood spilling from their noses and mouths and ears. They clung together, healing. The heat was devastating now, but bearable. The wreckage of the factory burned brightly, flames shooting up into the sky. After a while, Storm came over to join them.
Amazing. Is there anything you can't do?
Yeah. Save a whole safe full of gold bullion that just went up with that factory. Damn! I was looking forward to that.
Random was still laughing about that some time later, as he and Ruby and Storm led the rebels and clones back down into the tunnels under Technos 3. The surviving Empire forces, disarmed, sat around and looked at each other, and waited for somebody else to decide what they should do next. And out of the inferno, out of the blazing wreckage, out of the hell that was all that remained of the factory complex, came half a man, striding unhurriedly through the flames, untouched by the heat. He walked over to Daniel and Stephanie Wolf and shook his head slowly.
Trained church troops beaten like amateurs, and three investigators dead. The factory utterly destroyed. Lionstone is not going to be pleased. If I were you, I'd start thinking of some really inventive excuses.
He strode off to bark orders at what was left of the Empire forces. Stephanie stared mutely at the burning ruins of her factory.
All gone. Everything. We'll have to start again from scratch. If the Empress doesn't take the star drive away from us for this fiasco.
And both our spouses are dead.
Ah, well. At least some good came of this.
Stephanie glared into the leaping flames.
Our explosives couldn't have done all that. Someone else must have interfered.
Probably. Odds are we'll never find out what really happened here. It doesn't matter. It's over. I'm not needed here anymore. I'm finally free to go and look for Daddy.
And he strode away, without once looking back.
Danny!
Stephanie called desperately after him.
Danny, come back! You can't just leave me here like this! I need you! Come back, you bastard!
Flynn got that on camera, too. Toby Schreck stood beside him, grinning foolishly.
Live, Flynn! We got it all! Live! We'll win every award going for this, and probably a few they'll make up specially. I haven't felt like this since one of the family maids showed me what was what when I was 14.
I don't know about you, but my hourly rate just went up. Way up.
Damn right. I wonder what we should do for an encore.
Don't worry. I'll think of something.
Toby and Flynn looked at each other.
I don't know about you, but I think fame and fortune just got indefinitely rerouted.
Epilogue, Prelude to War. And so begins the rebellion. Owen Destocker and Hazel Dark, along with the man who might be Jack Random, and Jenny Psycho, last manifest of the Uber-Esper Mater Mundi, will head for Mistworld, not knowing the terrors that await them there. The Empire, together with the awful thing called Legion, is finally ready to invade the rebel planet. In Mistport, old friends will meet again, and long-buried secrets will finally come to light. Giles Deathstalker, Finley Campbell, Evangeline Schreck, and Julian Skye will head for what had been a pleasure world, but is now known as Haseldama, the Field of Blood. There they will find children's dreams turned to bloody nightmares, and risk the damnation of all their souls. David Deathstalker and his friend Kid Summerisle, also known as Kid Death, will head for the Deathstalker standing on the planet Viramond. Once it had been Owen's home, but David is determined to make it his. He can't know that the Lord High Dram, also known as the Widowmaker, has other plans for the peaceful backwater planet. Plans that will end in blood and death and horror, and the true test of friendship. And finally, with rebellion breaking out on 100 worlds across the Empire, the war will finally begin. Captain Silence and Investigator Frost will be called home and placed in charge of defending Golgotha as the rebel forces close in around it. It will be war now, with little mercy and less honor, and damn all glory for the quick or the dead. And all of it pivoting around one man, Owen Deathstalker, the hope of humanity, the warrior who fights for peace and knows so little of it himself. Deathstalker Rebellion is a Defiance Audio production. Copyright 1996, Simon R. Green. Directed by Rick Rowan and produced in the studios of the Cutting Corporation. Production copyright 2003, Listen and Live Audio Incorporated and the Cutting Corporation. The Deathstalker theme was composed and performed by Norman Vandersloys. Red Shirts were performed by Mort Shelby. If you enjoyed Deathstalker, you'll want to check out our futuristic warfare series, Battletech. And for a complete catalog, call 1-800-653-9400.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.